are listening to Grammy's Rocket Chair on RLM Radio.
The girl of your dreams has got to be in some bar.
Sorry, boys and girls, but this is X-rated. So if you're under 18...
Get out, goddammit!
Get the point. Good.
And now...
Bend over.
Y'all ready for this?
We do it all night long.
And now, your host, Grammy.
Hey there, hi there, ho there, everybody. And sorry for being a little bit late. My little sister shared a video over on Twitter about a mom that tricked her kids and faked out like she chopped off part of her finger and videotaped it. And I was watching it and going, oh, my Lord. Of course, my sister, when she shared it, she said, apparently I wasn't a very exciting or I was a very boring mommy. And I thought, oh my Lord, if I'd have done that to my kids, I would have felt absolutely horrid. But, because, yeah, they both would have been screaming meanies, let me tell you. They weren't tough enough. That's all there is to it. I didn't... Wow. But it was a funny video, and yet I would not have done that to my children. No. No way. Oh, my. In any case, it's a Freaker Friday. Wow, talk about a way to start your Freaker Friday evening. Y'all are listening to Grammy's Rocket Chair here on RealLibertyMedia.com, Channel 10. Also on the RLM Spreaker Channel, the RLM TuneIn Radio Station, the RLM Internet Radio Station, the RLM.xyz or rlmradio.xyz site. Yeah, that one. And later to be on YouTube and BitChute and iHeartRadio, and I have no idea where else. Oh my goodness, it's a Friday. It's been one of those days where I had the best laid plans of mice, because men don't need to get involved in this. I had plans. And there were actually no mice involved either, but there were flies. There were flies. Because we have been inundated with flies and mosquitoes this last week. And I was in the reading room. And flies were everywhere. And it's like, God, it doesn't... What the hell? So I found me a fly swatter and I went on fly attack. Well, after I did that, I had to sweep the floor. Because, yeah... freaking flies. And then I decided, okay, it's time to do some deep cleaning. So I took shower curtain down. I have one of them cloth shower curtains. Took the cloth shower curtain down and replaced the plastic one on the inside and scrubbed everything down in the bathroom and got the cloth shower curtain washing and all this other fun stuff. And I come upstairs and there's freaking flies everywhere in the damn bathroom again. It's like, God dang. So here I am, dun 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 dun, with my mighty fly swatter and had to sweep the floor again. And it's just been one of those days. Oh, and while I was doing, or as I was getting ready to do the laundry, I found out that I was out of laundry soap. So I'm also making laundry soap today. So I had other things planned, but that didn't happen. And you know what? I just roll with it. I don't think it's anything to do with being tough enough. It's just learning to roll with it. Oh, maybe I need to find that song. May I have to do that? We'll think about it. In any case, time to say hey there, hi there, ho there, everybody. Okay, over here on Twitter. Hi, Vanny, I see you over here. And thank you, Barman, for letting everybody know that I am alive and in poison over here on Twitter. And let's see, who else? And hey, Sissy Poo Loop-De-Loo. Here we go, loop-de-loo. Here we go, loop-de-li. Yes, that's how she got her nickname. Everybody in the house has, or all of us have nicknames. So, in any case, so that's Twitter. Over here on realliberty.org, Grimmy is over here right now. I see Gary L was on a little while ago. So was Vinny and the lovely Mary B and Bobby Bain. And Bob Renner and Flash Somebody were all hanging out over here. And he shared the podcast of the Power Hour with Prince and Poopster from last night. And I got to listen to that this morning while I was scrubbing in the bathroom. And, yeah, very interesting, very informative. I'm happy for those of you that are into Bitcoin. I hope it works out really well for you. I know it's supposed to be an alternative to fiat currency, and yet its value is still measured by the fiat currency. So I'm going, what? Apparently, I'm just not techie enough to get it. That must be what it is, because I don't get it. I would just as soon do away with all forms of currency, period. It's currency. Everything's got to do with, you know, water and maritime law, and it's that current dragging you down into the sea where you will drown in red tape or debt, however you wish to look at it. But it's currency. It's a manipulative control thing. We need to get past this. We really do. We need to evolve ourselves to a point where we don't have to go, well, my stuff's worth more than your stuff, so I'm not trading you unless you give me some paper that's got color on it. Or give me some little digital things that only exist digitally, which is pretty much what fiat currency is, too. Get past it, peeps. Seriously. We don't need money. That's all control. So, there's my little rant. It's not the only one. I'm sure I'll have more. Over here on Fakebook, let's see what's going on. Oh, hey, this guy's got brats sitting on the barbecue grill, and it says, and when you're done grilling us to perfection, we insist you serve us on a hard roll with sauerkraut, onions, and Dijon mustard, and absolutely no ketchup. Apparently the package says spoiled brats. Brats. Dun, dun, dun. That was Brother Fudd. Greta Fudd. He's pretty much the only one that's really... Oh, hey, Catherine, over there in Ireland. How are you doing, sweetie? Okay, over here on freedomsnetwork.com, the sister site of realliberty.org. Thank you, Grim, for letting everybody over here know that I am live and in poison. I see we've got some new members. Who is this person? Taj Malagra. Well, hello and welcome. I see Grim was on here for a while, as well as KD Troxel and Vinny RLM Radio as well. Vinny, my God, dude, you are the P.T. Barnum of the digital radio waves. That's all there is to it. You know how to promote. If nothing else, you know how to promote. Good on you. Okay, over here on Minds. Hey, I've actually been kind of sort of off and on loitering on Minds in between, you know, when I stopped from scrubbing. I had sweat running down earlier today. It was warm work today. Ick. Okay, I'm just scrolling on Minds. Anybody over here on Minds that's listening in, hi there, how are you? Over here on inthematrix.com. I see the lovely Seamount Mermaid is posting like crazy, as well as, oh, there's AG Barr. Revelation Equation is also posting a lot over here. Hey there, guys. How are you doing? Yes, Grimmy. Need some medium. I get that whole medium of exchange. It's... Apparently, I am getting way too into the Ringing Cedars books. Because, you know, according to Anastasia, back in the day, like before... Hi, Chaskura. I think that's... Is that how you say that? Chaskura? I'm sure I'm screwing it up. Sorry, hon. And Vinerino. In any case, you know, way back in the day before the Jesuits or whoever the hell you want to point the finger of blame, just remember that whenever you point a finger, you got three pointing back at yourself. If you didn't fall for their nonsense, they wouldn't be able to get away with it. Myself included, every time I point a finger, I got three fingers pointing right back at me as well. But way back in the day, you know, a lot of that stuff that got burned, because, well, you know, we had to purge those evil heretics and all that other fun stuff. Get rid of that stuff. It's bad juju. Yeah, it's bad juju because it was actually people just sharing what they had. You know, it was just an understanding that you just shared what you had. I realize we can't go back to that kind of world, but wouldn't it be nice if we no longer needed some medium of exchange? Hey, check out the Ubuntu movement. There's a thought. I checked that out as well. That's what got me started on Ringing Cedars books, but in any case, it would be wonderful if we did not need a medium of exchange, period. We just, you know, we were able to just do what we excel at. You know, people were encouraged to excel. People, you know, just pitched in and helped whenever something needed to be done, and everybody shared in the bounty, period. But we have been bred to have a certain segment of the population is just flat-ass slackers. Slackers. They are the people that just sit there and go, no, someone else must tend to me. No. No. You are responsible for yourself. I am responsible for myself. Let's all try and get along, shall we? Okay, so, been across all those tabs, so I guess it's time to go to the one place where everybody is chitty-chatting. And if you are listening in on the Spreaker channel, please come on over to reallibertymedia.com. Think of a nickname. Join the chat. Give me some static, and I'll give it back. And over here in the RLM, Beetle is gone. He will be gone until next week sometime, Monday, Tuesday, somewhere around there. Good luck, Beetle. Be safe, honey. Right up top, I see Barman, the most splendiferous bot in the whole wide world, closely followed by Grimner, the RLM god, don't you know, and the creator of Barman. The lovely Moose Goyle is also here. Hey, Moosey, you going to be around for the Freakers Ball tonight, or is it going to be balls to the wall? Inquiring minds would like to know. I also see Backward Bracket DC is here, as well as Asmodeus Asmo. Got some Chalcedony going on in the chat, as well as Echelon. And Civ is here. Grimmy, you know what, hon? I have gotten to where I really enjoy the slackerness of slacker, but I do take care of myself, and I take care of my critters. And I take care of my farmer, and he takes care of me, and it's all good. Okay, I go help take care of my mom and my uncle, too, but, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. I mean, if you wish to invent something, then everybody goes, dude, that's just freaking awesome. And if you don't wish to invent anything, that's fine, but I see no need for a medium of exchange. That's a control mechanism to me. That's all it is to it, because somewhere along the way, someone's going to go, my stuff's better than yours. You're going to have to come up with something better than that. No. Everybody's effort is worth, has value. You decide. You think your effort's worth more than mine? You go hungry and you come to me and you want some fresh produce. Yeah. Tell me your effort's more important than mine? I don't think so. It all has importance. Back to saying hey. Free enslaved. Hey, Free, how you doing, hon? I'm here. I'm being off the wall again, just expressing myself and saying, damn it! I also see IB Don C is here, as well as Jabba 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 Doctor 2. We got some Meisterbrauer in the chat who was grazing earlier. Awesome. Awesome. Oh, see ya, Vinerini. Vinerino? Vinny. The Mini Vinnies. The Mini Vinnies. Multiple personalities, that's what it is. Okay, Pondergander, which is one of Vinny's multiple personalities. We also got a Poopster in the chat. Hey, Poopster! I have a baby sis. Her nickname is Pooper. That's because when Dad came home from the hospital, he said she's just a little bitty and she looks like a little poop. She was very dark. You know, the Native American. PC way of saying it. The Indian blood. Someone's handing out crack pics. Ew! Oh. Chaskura is controlling the market. Yay, there you go. You do that. Honey, the only thing I pay is my time. Okay, sometimes I have to do that funny little pretty colored paper stuff, but I prefer not to. Moving along, Prince is here. Once again, Poopster and Prince. Good job. Nice show. I enjoyed it. I learned something, but I'm going to agree to disagree. I just don't get the Bitcoin thing. I just don't get it. The lovely Miss Kate is here. Hi, Kate. How's things down in Florida? I hope everything is absolutely wonderful for you. Got some Rome's going in the chat. Rome's is another Bitcoin person. I remember back in the day when Rome's was mining like crazy. Minor Rome's. That's back when he was Darth Rome's, and I got to go, Darth Rome's. I don't get to do that anymore. Damn it. Well, I just did. The lovely Miss Vanna White, the letter turner of the RLM channel. Vinarino is kind of logged in, but I think he went to get some cake. Weather Dork is here. Weather Dork, hon, you know what? You fibbed to me about what the weather is supposed to be today, because it's been chilly and windy and drizzling, and I worked inside all day. The lovely Zbeth Z. Happy birthday, lovely lady. Or should I say, happy anniversary of the day you grace the world with your presence. Ta-ta-ta-ta. We got Phantom in the chat. Thank you, Phantom, for my wonderful intro. I also see Anti is here, as well as Chaskura. I know I said that wrong, honey, but I can't. Yeah. Yes, there is sex everywhere. But there's moving along. I don't want to go there. Cycles is here. Hey, Cycles. How you doing over there in Denmark? Coffee Guy is also here, as well as a Cyborg Noodle. And seeing as how it is Friday, which is Apostopharian Holy Day, arg, may you be touched by his noodly goodness in a cybernetic way. Duh is here. Hi, Duh. As well as Frump and Frumpy. Frumped and Frumpy. Frumped and Frumpy were sitting on a fence. And they got into a bickering match, and next thing you know, somebody had a pain in the ass, and moving along. Gooberzilla, hey Goob, how you doing, hon? Grommet is also here, as well as JJ's 99, that wonderful Scottish feller, who's figured out how to keep me from peeking up his kilt. Good job, JJ, see how you are. I actually had to scroll for all of the names logged in. That's frickin' bonus. You guys are awesome sauce. That's all there is to it. Kiss is in the chat. Hey, Kiss. Mwah. How you doing, hun? Matt WJ2002. How are you doing, hun? Mr. Snick-Knack Paddywhack, give it that dog a bone. My dogs are outside because they get a little frisky inside. Pompa Pompa Pon Sauce is here, as well as Real Donnie Woo. I don't know. Real Donnie Woo. Oh, man. See, you know what instantly popped into my head when I saw that? Please, no more Yankee my winky. Oh, was that 16 candles? Is that what that was from? Oh, my goodness. Moving along. Hi, Sock Puppet. How you doing, hon? I hope you're not working too hard. We got Smotaz, the smut asses. Asked bot of the RLM channel, and the holiest Roger ever. Holiest. Now, is that holiest as in the most holes, or as in the most with the most religiosity? Inquiring minds would like to know. And to round out the crew, the one, the only, the lovely Miss Donna Van Meter. So now that I've made it all the way through, oh, he gets to smell ass for all eternity. Wow. Where is Epstein? He's some undisclosed location. I don't think his meat suit's warranty has expired yet. Let's just put it that. Oh, that's not the fake Donnie Woo. That's the real Donnie Woo. That is just so flippin' awesome. Awesome sauce. Okay. Cereal Israel. No, it's Cereal Israel, not Israel. Israel. Which could very well be where he's at. Very interesting. Okay, I'm going to go to something else that I found quite interesting the other day, and I threw it in my pocket and then promptly forgot about it, and so it gathered a few dust bunnies and a little bit of lint, but I decided as I was scrolling earlier today to go back and check it out. So this is from OrganicLifestyleMagazine.com. It's actually from way back in April of 2015, and the title is How Plumbing Not Vaccines Eradicated Dis-Ease. Now, I'm talking the dis-ease as in the dis-ease in your bodily functions. I'm not talking about the mental dis-ease that there's a boatload of people that have an issue with. They apparently went shopping, and it was like one of those Black Friday sales, and they went, look, dis-ease, it's on sale, I'm going to fill my cart, because I know some people in real world that have a cartload, let me tell you. So, vaccines get all the glory, but most plumbers will tell you that it was water infrastructure, sewage systems, and clean water that eradicated disease, and they're right. Also, if you look at polio, what the real cause of polio is, I may have to find that link and put it in the chat later. Real eye-opener. In any case, disease before plumbing. So after the fall of the Roman Empire, Europeans, now this is according to his story, you know, that ever so creative writing that I really do think the Jesuits are responsible for probably 95% of it. That is my thought process. In any case, back to this. After the fall of the Roman Empire, Europeans despised all things Roman, including bathing. Whew. So that's why it's European. You smell like it. There was widespread belief, you know, that little lie in the middle of that word, that getting wet caused illness. This contempt and fear of bathing persisted through the Dark Ages. Now, you know they say that because there is a magical mystery 1,000 years that just all of a sudden appeared in our calendar. Do some research. I've done a lot of research on this stuff, and yeah, where the hell did that extra 1,000 years come from? That's what they call the Dark Ages, because they just didn't have enough imagination to come up with enough shit to fill another 1,000 years. That's pretty much what it was. So some Europeans defied local customs by bathing, but this was usually done over great protest. When Queen Elizabeth bathed, her servants panicked, fearing she would become ill and die. Okay, that mental thought just kind of, I had to give it a chance to run around for a while. Now, this resistance to bathing was brought across the Atlantic to America, influencing habits all the way into the 1800s. In 1835, Philadelphia almost passed an ordinance forbidding wintertime bathing. P.U. 10 years later, Boston did outlaw bathing, except by medical directive. Oh, damn. Wow. You places, wow. It doesn't surprise me one dang bit that the East Coast is most definitely a sewer. I've been to the East Coast a couple times, by the way. You know, for those of you that think that I'm out here in the middle of the boonies, and yeah, we got the smell of money around here, a.k.a. feedlots and manure and that kind of stuff, you know, natural fertilizer. But damn, I've been to New York and New Jersey. Y'all don't smell real good. Just saying. I've been to the West Coast too. That it don't smell much better over there either. Coming from this country girl. So, apparently that law was not widely enforced in Boston. But it does illustrate the American resistance to bathing as late as the mid-1800s. So, how plumbing eradicated dis-ease, or disease, however you wish to pronounce it. Before plumbing was widely used, indoor facilities consisted of a washstand, a washbowl, a pitcher, and a chamber pot or commode. human waste was thrown into the street or anywhere convenient. Not much different from the left coast and the right coast. You know, those big sanctuary cities where it's just fine. You just go ahead and if you got to make a poo, you just do it right there on the curb or on the street. You know, they, by God, you better pick up the poo after your dog does it. But people, it's okay. They can poo in the street. No big deal. Yeah. This total lack of sanitation in urban areas filled with rats and other vermin provided the perfect environment to spread disease and dis-ease. The Black Plague alone killed 75 million to 200 million people, including one-third of Europe's population. I'll just leave that one alone. I thought of something else, but I'll just leave that one alone. Though this disease, though this disease is not entirely eradicated, human infection has become a rare occurrence. The last plague epidemic in America was in the early 1900s. Now, polio thrives in fecal matter and is easily transmitted through human waste. And wait a minute, I've been reading about some of these treatments, you know, these quote-unquote holistic, although I don't necessarily consider that holistic, where you do fecal infusions. You know, you take poo from a healthy person and you put it in another person that's not healthy and it's supposed to make them healthy. I'm thinking, wow. You're supposed to do an enema to get rid of the evil spirits. You're not supposed to put someone else's evil spirits up there and then have it all come flushing out. There's better ways of doing that, hon. Now, plumbing and water sanitation in India is way behind the rest of the industrialized world, and in areas where sanitation and hygiene are good, polio is rare. In areas where sanitation and hygiene are poor, the disease can spread rapidly, especially if Bill Gates has been over there with his crew. Immunization efforts have received a lot of publicity and have garnered most of the credit for India being declared polio-free. That's by the World Health Organization. Who? Yeah. As recently as 2009, India reported 762 cases of polio. And at that time, these numbers made India the polio capital of the world. In 2014, there are currently no official documented cases of polio. But without proper sanitation, there is no way this can last. But wait, Bill Gates is there. You know, if we do a really good job with our vaccine program, we can reduce the human population by 10%. Yeah, look up that speech. I did not do it verbatim, but that's pretty much what he said. Now, India is the second most populous nation in the world with an estimated population of 1.2 billion with a B. Currently, 780 million Indians do not have a toilet. 96 million Indians do not have access to clean drinking water. In rural areas, open defecation is still more common than attempting to dispose of human waste in a more sanitary fashion, such as burying it. Huh, not much unlike San Fran Nan's area that she's a representative from, or down in that other little cesspool, Los Angeles area. Oh, yes, California. It's going to become the new India. Just wait, it'll happen. Now, back to this. There have been some efforts to improve sanitation, but they pale in comparison to the extensive efforts to vaccinate Indians. Because how else are you going to get their population levels down? Now, over $9 billion has been spent in this vaccination public health campaign. In some parts of India, children have received as many as 30 doses of the oral polio vaccine before their fifth birthday. Do you know what kind of adjuvants are in there? Have you done any research on that? You know, all of those lovely little neurotoxins. Yeah. 30 doses before their fifth birthday, when all of those neural networks are making their connections. Thanks, Bill Gates. In some parts of India, children have received as... Okay, I already read that. Now, Bill Gates, oh, there he is, the World Health Organization and GAVI have ardently been pushing vaccines on people who still don't have access to clean drinking water or the sanitary means to dispose of human waste. Now, the current polio vaccine campaign in India is highly controversial due to the high rate of vaccine injury and death. Oopsie! There was 53,000 cases of NPAFP, which is a non-polio acute flaccid paralysis among those vaccinated. 53,000. Wow. Now, NPAFP is a disease that is clinically indistinguishable from polio and twice as deadly. And it's caused by the live weakened polio virus in the vaccine. Add the lovely little aluminum and formaldehyde and thimerosal that are the adjuvants, you know, to give it a longer shelf life. Add those into the mix, which compromise the immune system and the neurological connections, and you got a cocktail from hell. Literally. Now, incidences of disease rose and fell with the number of doses of the vaccination administered. So to call this dis-ease anything other than polio is semantic subterfuge. It's a whitewash for Big Pharma's image. You know, those wonderful people that bring you poison for profit every time you turn around. I know, Kate. It's just nuts, isn't it? Okay, so... It would be less expensive in human cost and far more effective to improve India's water infrastructure, improving India's sanitation and hygiene. Now, in the 1800s, the European infant mortality rate was very high, from 25% to 70%. And in the early to mid-1800s, London had little in the way of water infrastructure. The majority of people used town pumps and communal wells to get their drinking water, and waste disposal was far from adequate. Most Londoners dumped raw sewage and animal waste into open pits known as cesspools, or directly into the Thames River. Unfortunately, the Thames River was also the source of drinking water for many Londoners. That explains a lot, at least for me. Now, cholera spreads easily through contaminated water and food and kills very quickly. It often proves fatal within hours of the first symptoms of vomiting or diarrhea. And where does the vomiting and diarrhea go? Into the Thames River that just happens to also be where you get your drinking water. Yes, it's that cycle of death instead of a cycle of life. Love it. Not. Now, in 1854, yet another outbreak struck London, claiming the lives of tens of thousands of Europeans. In Soho, the suburb of London, there were more than 500 fatal cases of cholera in 10 days. Dr. John Snow, who lived near Soho, was able to directly investigate what was causing the outbreak, and 5 years earlier, Dr. Snow had written an article about what he believed had caused cholera. It was in the water, he argued, and this idea flew in the face of quote-unquote wisdom of his time. Yeah, so be careful, these quote-unquote wise men you're listening to, because they could be very full of Thames water. In the 1850s, doctors believed that bad vapors, you know, when a woman went off the side and said, "Excuse me, I have the vapors," it meant she had gas. Or a miasma in the atmosphere, which is really bad gas. They thought that caused the disease. But Dr. Snow dared to believe something different and to try something different, believing that he might see different results. So he traced the cholera back to the Broad Street pump. He persuaded the town officials to remove the pump handle, and the cholera outbreak abruptly ended. Sometime later, the outbreak was traced back to the woman cleaning a dirty diaper in the well. Lovely. Man, that's putting a little bit of a wang in your drink, ain't it? And a little bit of poo, too. Yuck. Now, though it took some time, Dr. Snow convinced the authorities that fecal matter was contaminating the water supply. Today, Dr. Snow is widely regarded as the father of epidemiology. Now, the Rwanda refugee camp set up in Zaire in 1994 struggled with outbreaks of dysentery. Sanitation was poor, the refugees defecated openly in common areas, not unlike a lot of our bigger cities here in America. Yes, we are turning ourselves into a third world shithole country. Literally. Now, sanitation was poor. The refugees, okay, I already read that. Human waste built up in the same areas where the refugees drew water that was used for cooking and drinking. Heavy rain flooded the area and dysentery became epidemic. And at its peak, it was killing 2,000 people a day. 2,000 a day. Now, the refugee camps have always been a haven for disease related to poor sanitation. Once U.S. and U.N. officials brought in purified water and encouraged people to use outhouses and latrines for defecation, the incidences of dysentery fell. On to Chicago. Excuse me. The Industrial Revolution drove rapid population growth. And Chicago's water infrastructure wasn't designed to handle such a rapid rise in population. Wonder if Mrs. O'Leary's cow had anything to do with this as well. Now, Chicago was dealing with many different diseases, but it was especially high rates of typhoid fever. The source of the rapid increase in disease was traced to the city's water and sanitation. The majority of the city's sewage was directed to the Chicago River, which flowed right back into Lake Michigan, which provided the city's drinking water. Once again, a vicious cycle. This, of course, contaminated Chicago's drinking water and created a cycle of dis-ease and disease. Now, it took many years to solve the problem. But in the early 1800s, Chicago modernized their water infrastructure. They reversed the flow of several rivers and streams, and as a result, read it right, Grams, typhoid fever and all other infectious diseases plummeted. In other words, clean up the water supply and people aren't nearly so apt to get sick. Now, the conclusion of all this is sanitation prevents dis-ease and disease by removing the cause of disease transmission. But this is not new information. Moses taught sanitation, if you believe the Bible. He made many rules for encampments. The Greeks and the Romans created elaborate systems of aqueducts, baths, and drainage. When the Roman Empire crumbled, sanitation became a lost art. Civilization paid the price. Plague after plague struck areas of dense population. Smallpox continued to infect Europe's population until plumbing infrastructure became commonplace. Now, although sanitation ended this disease, the smallpox vaccine takes the credit. Why? Because sanitation, once you put it in there, you can't keep making money off of it. But by golly, you create a vaccine and then mandate it, you can make money hand over fist. Oh, and if you have the cooperation of Congress, they can do a lovely little board that, you have to petition them to get reimbursement if you have vaccine injury. But oh, the flaming hoops that you have to jump through. You'll be dead before you get to talk to anyone. Back to this article. So when most of us think of the conscientious objector, we think of someone who refused military service for moral or religious reasons. In the 1800s, the term came into use for someone who refused vaccinations for their children. There was a great deal of resistance to the smallpox vaccine, and some statistics placed fatalities through the vaccine as high as 1 in 200. Thank you. I'm here with a vaccine. I'm here to help. We've got to control the population growth. That's what it is. And you dirty breathers over there, you don't need to be breathing so much. Now, in modern times, objections to vaccines are mounting. Refusing to vaccinate is as controversial today as it was when the first vaccines were forced on British citizens almost 200 years ago. Vaccines often contain toxins like aluminum and mercury, and many vaccines contain aborted fetal tissue. Ah, just another way for Planned Parenthood to make money on the back end and out the back door. Now, the reality of vaccine injury and death is making the news. Though the propaganda and out-and-out lies from pharmaceutical companies cause a polarized division between those who are pro-vaccine and those who are against. So if you're reading this, which I am, you probably have access to running water and a working toilet. Yes, I do. Just cleaned them up. So if you choose to forego vaccines for yourself and your children, bear in mind that you will need additional protection to avoid contracting illness, such as exercise, sleep, stress management, a truly healthy diet. These are all essential for an immune system to work at optimal efficiency. So while the medical professionals and pharmaceutical companies are quick to take credit for our increased life expectancy, in truth, they are not the heroes. So have you thanked a plumber lately? Yeah, I actually have, because I have a plumber who is renting my place in town. And he will come over here and he will put in the new bathroom in the basement as well. So, isn't that just wondrous? Just absolutely wondrous. Oh, that's true, Grim. Pepsi can't use all of that aborted fetal tissue. Of course, you know the black market is pretty good for that as well. Yeah. So, what do you think of them apples? I think it's time to go to the pig. Because that was rather depressing. It was very informative, but yet still depressing. And I need some piggish wisdom. Because these guys are just smart asses. You know, they don't claim to be wise beyond their years or anything like that. They're just wise asses. So, their word of the day is parasite. It's an elected or appointed tormentor whose entire work career was spent in government service. Dangleberry comes to mind. That idiot has not had a real job in his whole entire life. Not one. He's been groomed. Ew. In the quotable quotes section, another gem from Hambo. The large number of elected tormentors who attended law school makes me eliminate law as an honorable profession. Yeah, that's why I affectionately refer to them as liars, not lawyers. What is that? Ooh, sex at 73. I'm not there yet, but this looks interesting. I just took a leaflet out of my mailbox informing me that I can have sex at 73. I'm so happy because I live at number 71. So, it's not too far to walk home afterwards. And it's the same side of the street. I don't even have to cross the road. Boom, boom, boom. Okay. You guys are just weird. That's all there is. scrolling. This date in history, the 23rd of August, the year 565. A noted icon of supernaturalism, St. Columba, adds tragically delusional to his lengthy resume when he files one of the earliest reports of the Loch Ness Monster. What, you don't believe in Nessie? Stranger things. Have you seen that on Netflix? Stranger Things? That's an interesting show as well. Okay, this date in history, the 23rd of August, 1775. A terminally unamused King George III declares colonies are in open rebellion. Founding fathers laugh. Tough darts, Georgie. I can't find my give-a-damn anywhere. Oh man, they lost their give-a-damn? Jeez. Poor George. Go suck your thumb, George. George of the jungle. Okay. Oh, and they have a new... Sweet! A new top story. Their MAGA musings. I think I'll just leave that one there. Thank you very little. So, if you want to see anything else, you know, a little bit politically incorrect or any of that other fun stuff, come over to PIGazette.com and tell Hamble and Porcus that Grammy sent you. And, yeah, that's why they have the pig bunker. They go there and they hide. They do. Honest. Porcus told me. And so did Hambo's wife. She finds it amusing. She's quite fun. She really is. Or I guess he does refer to her as his lovely bride, which, there you go. Okay. There was one more that I wanted to... No, I don't want to go there. Okay. From the National Post. I saw this on Twitter, and I just had to go here. Because you know all the nonsense that they keep spouting, all of these leeches. You know, they're leeches. The leeches that be, they are not elite. The only power they have is the power that we acquiesce to them. So they are the leeches that be. From the National Post, it says, asks the question, is it immoral to have babies in the era of climate change? Well, since climate change is make-believe nonsense, I think the only reason having a baby is immoral is if you cannot take care of your child in a proper manner. And yet, that is my personal opinion. I can't talk to for someone else. If you don't want to have kids, keep your legs together. So, this article says, in a now already famous piece for the September issue of British Vogue, Prince Harry made clear that his wife Meghan's baby boy, Archie, will have one biological sibling only. Only one. Two children maximum, the Duke of Sussex vowed in the interview with famed primatologist Jane Goodall. Oh, well, yeah, great. So, we are the one species on this planet that seems to think that this place belongs to us and only us, Harry elaborated. I always think to myself, whenever there's another natural disaster, a huge increase in volcano eruptions or earthquakes or flooding, how many clues does nature have to give us before we actually learn or wake ourselves up to the damage and destruction that we are causing? Oh, sweetheart, please do not be so arrogant as to think that we are causing all of those natural disasters. I think maybe in an inadvertent roundabout way we are, because Mother Gaia is saying, y'all are really pissing me off. You do realize I could shake you off like a dog scratches off fleas, don't you? Hold my beer. Watch this. Trust me, Mother Earth will survive us. Now, the Vogue interview was published the same week that Harry flew by private jet to the uber-exclusive, Google-sponsored climate crisis camp at a U.S. $2,000 a night seaside Sicilian resort where His Royal Heiny Ass reportedly had a pedicure before delivering the speech barefoot. What? Were your talons showing and you had to get them trimmed back? Harry said that his two-baby pledge is premised on the concern for the earth. Some would argue his decision to even have a second child is immoral. See, and I think you need to have two. That's just my personal opinion, because you miss out on half of the whole parental joys. You know, if you only have one child, you know who did it. You know, and if you only have one child and they're arguing over, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, you know you've given that child entirely too many vaccines and their brain is fried. So, that's just my opinion. Now back to this. So as the United Nations warns of a climate apartheid, as humankind faces the threatening prospect of irreversible and catastrophic environmental destruction, philosophers and ethicists are arguing that humans have a moral obligation to drastically limit our procreation, ideally to zero children, but a maximum of one or two. No other human action, not driving less or living car-free, not even fewer transatlantic flights or eating less meat, is as effective as reducing one's carbon footprint as limiting one's family size. This is according to academic philosopher Trevor Hedberg. He argued this earlier in this year in a special edition or special issue of the journal Essays in Philosophy. Well, of course, they also reference the lovely Miss Alessandria Ocasio-Cortez. Yeah, I'm bored with this. It's nonsense. It's nothing but a bunch of mental poo-poo. Y'all need to, you know, ideas and philosophies need to be changed as often as diapers. A lot of times they get to smelling really bad before someone gets to them, but hey. Your ideas are getting pretty damn shitty. That's what I'm thinking. I actually used to like Harry, you know, back when Diana was still alive. But he's obviously drank the Kool-Aid and dined at that propaganda trough long enough that he's a goner. He's a goner. Oh, well. Y'all been listening to Grammy's Rocket Chair here on RealLibertyMedia.com, Channel 10. Later to be on the RLM YouTube channel, the RLM BitChute channel, RLM iHeart Station. Be sure to stick around because coming up this evening is the Freakers Ball or Balls to the Wall. I don't know. Moosey has got a life and she just has tendency to just go have a good time whenever she darn well feels like it. Because she's like adulting and stuff. So, yeah, tonight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, the Freakers Ball, where a good time will be had by all. Tomorrow at noon Eastern Time, belly up to the table, the dork table, with Flasharoonie Dork, and God knows who he's going to co-hostage into that one. I have no idea what I'm doing tomorrow, so I don't know if I'll get to play or not. Sunday at noon Eastern Time, Grim's going to be hopping on the cybernetic airwaves and playing some blues for you. And there will be a rousing game of trivia going on in the chat. I foresee it. I am foretelling the future. Directly following Grimm will be Hal Anthony, who's going to be jumping in and opening up a can of whoop-ass on yo' ass behind the woodshed. Grimm just informed me it's balls to the wall tonight. Balls to the wall, man. That sounds painful. So, are they called walnuts then? Just curious. Okay, back to the schedule. I got a couple minutes yet, seeing as I'm started late. Oops. Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Grimner's going to be hopping on the radio with some tasty brain food, some of his Grimm's leftovers. And Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Channel 14, you got the O'Challey effect going on. always something very interesting to listen into. Then Tuesday morning at 2 a.m. Eastern Time, it's actually human time in Denmark, but yeah, I'm sleeping then, Flash. Sorry. It's in a perfect world, contrasting the occupation, Flash and Vinny, although Vinny don't get up that early either. Then on Wednesday, I will be back for my last Wackadoodle Wednesday edition of the Rocket Chair, at least for a while. I gotta get caught up. You know, I'm busier than a cat covering up you know what. That's all there is to it. If it ain't one thing, it's another. So, y'all have an absolutely amazing rest of your weekend. Have fun at Balls to the Wall tonight and at the Dork Table tomorrow. And if I'm here, I'll come play. And if I'm not, well, have a good time without me. And in the interim, please remember, I truly do love you all. And I wish you all enough. Good night.